The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Say with me, say, my eyes are open. The eyes of my understanding enlightened. I see clearly what God has done in Christ, and I am not confused. It is given to me to know and to understand the things of the kingdom, and light happens to me throughout this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So you realize that the first declaration you ever find in the Bible is, let there be light. The first thing God declared, the first thing God called forth, the first thing God created was light. So God created light. And you see how he created light? He created light by speaking forth light. Now, I wanted to pay attention this evening because I have a couple of things to share with you, and we have to build up from here. I believe you can hear me clearly. I'll build up from here. So let there be light. Now, look at what caught me, actually. The fact that if you get to Genesis 1 verse 14, notice that in verse 3, it says, let there be light. If you get to verse 14, we now see God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And God made the stars also. Of course, you study very well. Find out that in verse 16, Bible said God made two great lights. It was referring to the sun and the moon. Put up another translation of verse 16. Verse 16, he said, God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. So, God made the sun, God made the moon in verse 16. I follow him. But in chapter 3, he already told us that God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, before the creation of the sun and the moon, there was light. I follow him. So, before the sun and the moon was created, there was already light all over. There was light in the heavens. There was light all over the place. On the earth. So the question is, what was that light? What was that light? Now, and that's just what I'm going to answer for you today. God said, let there be light. And it's not like it happened later. The Bible said, and there was light. It tells us that saw the light that he created and saw that it was good. And God divided that light from darkness. And that was the first day. So the first day, all God did was to create light. Come on. And then in verse 14 to verse 16, he now created the sun. He now created the moon. He now created the stars. So what was it God created before he made the sun and the stars? Now let's see a little more. Notice that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, something necessitated the creation of light. That was the need. What was the need? Genesis 1 verse 2, let's read together. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. So because of this situation, God now said, let there be light. Now, he said, the earth was without form. Now, let me give you some Hebrew words. Amen. The word without, we're going to use this a lot in this conference. The word without form is the Hebrew word tohu. And the word, or the words with void, is the Hebrew word bohu. Amen. Tohu bohu. Yeah, that's what I pass in Hebrew. So the earth was tohu bohu. Come on. Now, I'm going somewhere with all of this. Now, the word tohu means to lie waste, to be empty, to be nothing, to be empty, totally empty. The word bohu means almost the same thing. It means ruin. It means emptiness. So the world was in a state of confusion. It was empty. It was in ruin. It was messed up, the whole world. Now that was why, and then of course we see for that, thirdly, we see that darkness was upon the face of the earth. So three things. The earth was without form. Tohu. The earth was without was void. Bohu. And there was darkness over the face, upon the earth. Now, look at why I'm sharing this with you. Because what God did in Genesis 1 from verse 1 to 3 was not actually a creation. What God did in Genesis 1 to 3 was to significantly prophesy what was to happen in Christ Jesus. Are you following? Please pay attention. This is the way. We will still run. We will still shout. But we need to get something tonight. Amen? What God did in Genesis 1-3, because it wasn't really about creation. Because if it's about sun and stars and whatever, he later created those ones. So Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3 was trying to explain something else. What happened in Christ? So I'm going to show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. I think we're starting now. So that's 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, you know, it's a way God who commanded. He's telling a story. He didn't say God who commands. He said God who, he's telling us something that God did. Amen? Where did God do this? Where did God command light to shine out of darkness? Genesis 1, verse 1. Verse 1 to 3. So that God who commanded light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God commanded light shine out of darkness, and actually the light shined on the earth. But we are seeing in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4 that that light that shined on the earth now shined in our hearts. Are you following? Now shined in our hearts. So what was happening in Genesis 1? 1, 2, and 3 was what happened in Christ. And I'll show it to you. The earth was in tohu bohu, without form, was void, and was full of darkness. That is the state of the man in sin. Amen? Tohu bohu. Confusion. Darkness. Nothingness. The man in sin. Amen? In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 18, tells us the state of the man in sin. John chapter 3, verse 18, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the Son of Holy Son of God. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation. What is condemnation? That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So condemnation was the darkness. So there was darkness in the world. So God came, saw the whole world lying in darkness, lying in confusion, lying in emptiness, lying in nothingness. That's what he saw when he came. Amen? Yeah. Bible tells us that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What does that tell you? The Holy Ghost was not dwelling on the earth. It was just hovering. And that's what was happening for the man in sin. Darkness in his heart. Holy Ghost hovering. He's in the state of tohu bohu. Confused, nothing, empty, messed up. That is the man in sin. So what did God do? God commanded light to shine out of darkness. How did he do it? He said, let there be light. So let there be light. How did this happen in Christ? When we meet men and we preach the gospel to them, we are announcing, let there be light. Are you following me? When we meet men, I will tell them, Jesus died for you and all that. We are announcing, let there be light. God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, Genesis 1, has shined in our hearts, the new man in Christ. I follow him. Now, when we preach the gospel to the man, we are announcing, let there be light. The next thing you heard, and there was light. When does that happen? When the man believes. So how I put it in my notice, the earth was without form and void, the man in sin. Let there be light, the gospel preached. And there was light, the gospel believed. Are you following me? The earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the earth, the state of the man in sin. God said, let there be light, the gospel preached. So when God was announcing, let there be light, he was actually talking about the preaching of the gospel that will bring light into the hearts of men. And there was light is when the gospel is now believed. Who is following me at all? So when a man believes, the light of the gospel shines in his eyes. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 16. So there was light is the gospel believed. Luke 1 verse 16. You find Luke talk about this. He said, And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go forth before. Come on, you are stepping down this. Stepping it down, it was better before. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power and Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that's what he did when we believed the gospel. Hallelujah. So you find out that when we believe the gospel, the light shines in our hearts. That darkness that was all over the earth is now removed. Now, follow this closely. That darkness is now removed. And that is why you realize that the first thing God did was to create light. And it is the first because it was the most important of all the creations. Come on, I follow you. It was the most important. The most important thing created was not water. It wasn't air. It wasn't whatever. It wasn't sun. It was the light that was to come in Christ. So Genesis 1 verse 1, 2 and 3 is actually prophetic. Speaking of what will happen in Christ. Are you getting me? How the light of the gospel will shine in the hearts of men. And then they will become new men. And that's why you realize, friends, that the greatest fight of the devil is to stop men from seeing light. So you now go to that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. So what is the God of this world doing? Stopping men from seeing light. Are you getting me? Because that light that God announced in Genesis 1 is the most important of all God's creation. That is the major thing God wanted to do. That was the first thing he did. So what Satan does or wants to do is to blind the eyes of men that they will not see. That they will not see that light. So he stops them from seeing the light. Of course, that light is the gospel. Amen? So he wants to darken their understanding. So there is a fight against the light of the gospel. Let me digress to say this a little. That's why you realize that when you want to go and preach the gospel, you have the greatest challenges. You have the greatest setbacks. Either you are the one having the setbacks, or the person you want to preach to is rejecting and resisting what is happening. I want to say to somebody listening to me, part of the challenges you're going through in life is to Satan wants to see if he can shut your mouth from announcing, let there be light. Hey, listen to me. If you can understand life this way, you will realize that sometimes instead of crying over things, you need to go regardless. Because sometimes Satan messes with your finance, messes with your whole life. All he wants to know is if he can shut your mouth. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? So if he shuts your mouth, he has stopped, let there be light. And if there is no let there be light, there will be no and there was light. Come on, are you following me? So Satan wants to stop you
and stop people. And that's why some of you that invite people to church, you notice you invite people to church, that day you invite them to church, some, that is the day they will not come. In fact, if Satan can do it, he will give them a job that day. Amen? Give them a job, make them prosper. Send them abroad. And that's why any church where the gospel is not preached, Satan will rather send people to that church. I get any point? All he wants to do is to make sure that that light of the glorious gospel does not shine in the hearts of men. Because that's the first and most important thing God did. The first thing he ever said was, let there be light. That is the most important of every other thing. And that's why maybe you're here, you are not saved. You've not believed the gospel. People are trying to talk to you, you are feeling, I don't need all these things. Let me tell you what is happening. While you are fighting all the preaching coming to you, the God of this world is trying to blind your eye that that light will not shine. Are you following me, church? Let's celebrate Pastor Casey. Come on. Wow, this is a huge one. It's a huge surprise. Hallelujah. Wow. God bless you. You're welcome. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So let's continue. You're welcome, sir. All the way from ABJ this evening. Hallelujah. We celebrate you. Amen. Now, so all Satan is fighting is to see that this light of the glorious gospel does not shine in the hearts of men. And that's what he wants to do. So, the God of this world wants to stop them. So if you're here, you know that preaching the gospel to you, you're feeling all this preaching thing. You know, I know it all. What is happening? Satan is fighting a battle. You know, let me say this to you. There are a few things God began to teach me recently. Sometimes when we feel we are under satanic attack, I'll come to this in this meeting sometime. We are really not under attack. Those things we call satanic attacks are really not satanic attacks in reality. Let me give an example. You fall sick and you call it an attack of the devil. Well, that's an attack of the devil because sickness is bad. But the day the attack started was the day your prayer life stopped functioning. It wasn't the day you fell sick. Are you following me? It's the day you fall sick and I say, oh, I'm under attack. Well, no. That is not the attack started when you stopped praying. Most people think that Satan is fighting them. I ask them why. Say, look at my business. Look at my career. Well, in reality, that thing that is stopping you from going to church is the attack of the devil. That thing that is stopping you from seeing the light is the real attack of the devil. Whether it is the good news or the bad news. Are you following me? You go preach to someone. The person says, sir, please, just I forgot all this preaching you are preaching. Pray for me. My business is going down. He thinks he's under attack. He thinks that's the attack. He doesn't realize that that's not even close to an attack. What do you think Satan will gain by making your business go down? That's not the big deal. The big deal is to see that the light of the glorious gospel will not shine in your hearts. But we know better. That's why, and I'm digressing a little bit, but see, that's why we want to go to preach the gospel. We go with all our strength and all our might because we are in the biggest, greatest spiritual warfare ever. You know, spiritual warfare, what is spiritual warfare? You think, well, we're going to buy, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, every demon. Well, that's spiritual warfare. But you see, that to me is the smallest. I can tell you other bigger warfare. There's the smallest of them is every demon that is fighting me. Go in Jesus' name. That's small. It's warfare. It's small. I tell you something bigger. Something bigger goes on in your mind. You see that thought telling you that Satan, that God is angry with you. That's spiritual warfare. Are you getting me? The Bible tells us that the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. Casting down imaginations and bringing every thought in obedience to Christ. That actually is the warfare. So the real warfare goes on in your mind. That's why if on the outside you are fighting, Satan be gone. But in your heart you are defeated. Maybe you believe, oh, I'm finished. My life is messed up. That once you believe all those things, you are already losing the battle. Forget all the time you are shouting on the outside. Die! Somersault! That's not the war.
The war is within. But I tell you, the highest spiritual warfare is the one we're seeing in this verse. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4.
That thing that wants to stop men from seeing the gospel. So when I'm stepping out to go and preach, I'm embarking on warfare. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm combating, I'm trying to stop the devil from shutting people's eyes from seeing that light. That's warfare. That's warfare. Are you following me? So the greatest part of the devil is to stop men from seeing the light. To stop the light of the glorious gospel from shining. You see, friend, but the light has come. Amen. And you know what? When the light comes, I'm going to share some things with you this evening, you know, before I just close very shortly. When the light comes, one of the first things this light will do are doors to people. And I'm saying this for someone here this evening who is not saved yet. One of the things the gospel does is, or the light does is, it reveals your weakness and reveals your need for a savior. Before the gospel comes, a man could feel he's self-righteous. But when, you know, it's just like, let's be very practical. You know, if your face now, when if there is darkness here, you could finish making up and you feel you are so fine. But when light comes on your face, glory to God. Now it shows you everything that is wrong. And that's what the gospel does. When we shine that light in men, the self-righteous man begins to shake. Because it's showing him that he cannot do it by himself. Let me show you something. It's Acts chapter 16 verse 29. You see Paul recounting his own experience with the light. Acts 16 and verse 29. Glory to God. He said, then he called for a light. Okay, so this is not Paul, this is the jailer rather. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And said, sirs. Now this man came in contact with the light. He met Paul then. When he saw the light of the gospel, first thing he said was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The first thing gospel reveals is, it reveals that you are weak and that you need a savior. When I see people argue that, you know, they can do this Christianity by themselves, I know they've not seen the gospel. When you see the gospel, you see your weakness first. Are you following me? When you see the light, you see that you cannot do it. How many of you, you know, and that's why some religious guys, when they hear us preach the simplicity of the gospel, they fight it. Because it makes a mess of all their self-efforts. Are you following me? What the gospel does when the light comes. And that's why if you're in this place, and you've been struggling to keep up, you've been struggling to please God, but you've not been doing well. When you understand the gospel, when the light of the gospel shines in your heart, it will reveal your weakness and your inability to keep it. So you can look for a savior. I get to the point. It shows that you can't. It reveals your weakness. When I say people struggling to please God, it's obvious they've not seen the light. When you see the light, the first thing you do is that you give up. Amen? You give up your struggles. You give up the fight. You give up the fight. You give up trying to meet up with God. You give up trying to be good. You stop automatically. You stop trying to please God and you now rely on your Savior who will help you. I don't know if I'm talking to someone here who has his struggles, who wants to please God, and who has tried and tried and tried and it's not been working. Now, what God is saying to you today is you can try further, but you will not succeed. Because as far as God is concerned, He said your righteousness is as filthy rag before Him, so you won't succeed. And I used to jokingly tell people, God is three times holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You're not even once holy. And so you can't meet that standard. Are you following me, church? Yes, you can't meet that standard. So first, the light shows you that you can't. Any man that has come together with light just knows that he's weak. It reveals your weakness. When there is darkness, you can finish making up, and as far as you are concerned, you are the finest man or lady. But then somebody shines light on your face. Glory to God. And you begin to see that there is weakness all over. There are spots all over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it shows you your weakness. I'm going to read something for you that will bless you. Amen. Romans 7 verse 14. Now I'm building something up here, so just follow me. Amen. You know, this meeting, we prayed for this meeting. And any meeting I enter and we, and I know prayers was made for the meeting, I don't stretch. I don't stress one bit. The meetings we stress are meetings you are not sure that they prayed. Like when you're an invited guest, you don't know their prayer base. You just go back and say, Father, let all the angels that work with me attend this meeting because we can't help it. Put up NLT of Romans 7:14. Now, I show you what light does. So the trouble is not with the Lord. Are you looking at your Bible? For it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. For I am all too human and a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. Now this is the man. When you come in contact with the light, this is the first thing that will happen to you. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Who has ever been in this situation before? Where you find yourself, you try. If I, now that day you say, you know, go commit sin. You know, I don't know whether you have my story. Sometimes I'm leaving my house, I say, today I'm not going to insult anybody. If you just greet me, I'm going to say, God bless you. Or better still, I'm not telling you anything at all. It looks like after you just finish and you come out, there's always a conductor waiting. That will tell you, once you drop, you give him 100 naira. He said, no, the money not complete. He said, this? I thought, sir, I thought it's going to be. He said, you're crazy. He said, I know they take rubbish. And before you know, you that said you are not going to shout, you are fighting. And they are wondering, what is wrong with me? Hallelujah. Looks like that day, you're not going to curse anybody. The whole world knows that they have to annoy you that day. They will step on your toes. So that is after you are done cursing the person. When you now remember that you said you will not, you now get more angry with the person. Because you are the reason I did this thing I did now. He said, if I know, okay, go back to verse 15. Let's see it again. For I don't even know, understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Continue. But if I know that what I am, what I'm doing is right, is wrong. This shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Glory to God. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. You know, Paul is just opening up to all of us. Like, it's not like I don't like it. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This is the man in sin. This is tohu bohu. Are you following me? That state of helplessness, that state of confusion. You love God, but you just can't please him. Now, the problem is the man that has not seen light does not even know he has a problem here. Now, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the secret. So when light comes, light exposes your weakness and shows you the solution. It shows you can't do it. Then shows you see how it can be done. That is a way. Hallelujah. He said, the answer is in Jesus Christ. I love that verse 25. He said, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one that helps our weaknesses. He is the one. So when that light comes, you find out, well, I can't do this, but then Jesus will help me. You know, I read a book one day and a man said that sometimes God's way of making us stronger is making us weaker. It brings us to the end of ourselves. It brings you to that point where you feel, where you know that, see, I've given up. You know, before I saw the light of the gospel, I decided to go to hell. Not because I loved hell, but I knew I wasn't going to go to heaven. The one thing you must do for yourself is to tell yourself the truth. I knew I wasn't going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. When I saw the whole standard, that was all the point, lying to myself. I knew I was a hell candidate. I saw the standard. And then to worsen it, I began to hear of great men of God that have died that went to hell.
Did you read all those stories?
And after reading all those stories, I told myself, see, it's good to call a spade, and not an agricultural equipment. I am not going to go to heaven. So I gave up. It was at the point that I gave up that I felt Jesus saying to me, this is where I want you to get to. At this point where you know that you can no longer do it, give me your hand, let's take a walk. Are you following me, church? That's what the light shows you. It brings you to the point where you know that you can't do this. And then he presents the answer to you. That's why I like Matthew 11 verse 28 with a message translation. Matthew 11 28. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Christianity, when you see the light, it shows you your weakness and reveals the strength of God. He said, are you tired? Because this is where you get to when you struggle. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Come on, have you seen rest in Christ Jesus? Because when that light comes, it shows you your weakness, but then shows you the strength found in Christ. And then you can rely on him. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. It's a promise. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. This is what Jesus does. So at that point, you know, the first thing light God to you shows you how weak you are and how strong Jesus is. It reveals your weakness and then the strength found in Christ Jesus. So Christ has now become your qualification. He has now become your strength. It becomes the light that dispels that darkness. So you realize that your self-righteousness cannot deal with darkness. Only the light found in Christ can. Your perfection cannot deal with darkness. Only the light found in Christ can. Isaiah 64 verse 6, it tells us that our righteousness is like a filthy rag. So the best that we can try, is to produce, or is to become filthy rags. In other words, when you think you've done the best, God looks at it and said, well, that's filthy rag right there. But thank God for Christ Jesus. Thank God for Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 with NLT, another powerful story of Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Glory to God. Glory to God. As the scripture says, no one is righteous. Not even one. Not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. That's the state of the man in sin. Hallelujah. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. That's not me. They don't know where to find peace. They don't know. They don't know. Come on. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Hallelujah. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now, hallelujah. This is light. That's light. It brings you to that point where you just know, I can't help myself again. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. What is that way? We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Hallelujah. So once you believe, God supplies what you struggle to do in darkness. That which you struggle to do by your own strength, he supplies it. We are made right with God that way, just by our faith. Continue. Verse 23. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all fall short. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. So you see what Christ has done. So you come to him, you come to a point where you lose yourself. Light shines. You see the state the world was? Confusion, without form, void, darkness. Then God said, let there be light. And he brings the answer. So the first thing this light does is that it reveals your weakness and shows your need for a savior. Then this light, I like what I'm going to say now. John 1 verse 4. I'll show you one more thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Then this light, next thing to do, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this life, when the light shines, that light delivers life. That's in essence, the light that is in Christ Jesus wakes you up from the dead. In that state of darkness, we are dead. But then the life that Jesus offers is light. The light he offers is life. Come on. So when he shines that light, he raises you from the dead. He brings from that place of death and he brings you up. Look at Ephesians 5 verse 14. Ephesians 5 verse 14. So I've shown you first thing, this light, when it comes, it reveals your weakness and shows your need of a savior. Then it wakes you from the dead. He said, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So when he gives you light, he wakes you up from the dead. And that's why this is the answer to the world. So you meet some of, if you are here, and you've already put your faith in what Christ has done, this light has woken you up. In other words, you are no more dead. In other words, you are now alive. You are now alive in Christ Jesus. Once you were dead, now you are alive. How did it happen? He raised you from the dead. How did he raise from the dead? He said, let there be light. When you responded to that light, life came into you. And you woke up. As I tell you, you are no more dead. You are no more dead. So he raises you from that place of tohu, from that place of bohu, that place of emptiness, that place of nothingness. He raises you, and he does that just by shining light on you. Glory to God. Now the light has shined in our hearts. That's why if you are here, you put your faith in Christ Jesus, you are no longer dead. You are now alive. Now, whether you feel alive or not, you are no more dead. Because that light has shined. Darkness is equivalent to death. Darkness is death. The man in dark, the grave is called, is a dark place. It's a dark place. So what Jesus will do is to come to that grave and shine light. And when he shone his light on us, we stood up. You know the way I did that song last Sunday? Hallelujah. Jesus shone his light on me. And my night became my day. Powerful song. We're going to do that song very shortly, very soon. He shone his light on me. My night became my day. It feels so good to know that I'm free. I am free and I know it. Wow. We're going to rejoice to that song very shortly. So the light shines in your darkness. And then suddenly, the dead man is now alive. The man that was sleeping is now awake. The man that was dead in sin and trespasses is no longer dead. The man that was empty is now full. Glory to God. So the earth was without form. The earth was without void. That's talking about Henry. Henry was without form. So let me tell you the story of Genesis 1. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Verse 2. And after the creation, Henry was without form. Henry was void. And darkness was in Henry. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over him to see how he can gain entrance into this Henry. But there was no entrance. His life was messed up, without form. Without void. Look at this verse. I'm coming to where I was going to. But put up a translation of this verse. KJV said, without form, without void. NLT said, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep of the waters. Hallelujah. Amplified said, the earth was without form and empty waste. That was my life.
That was your life before Jesus came. That was your life before the light came. Message said, earth was a soup of nothingness. Guess what? That was me. A soup of nothingness. A bottomless emptiness. An inky blackness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stay here. Akurabata. Woo! But thank God for Jesus. You know, some of us don't realize where we were before we got saved. We don't realize what happened before you got saved. And maybe we don't also realize how important salvation is. It was so important that was the first thing God announced. The first time God ever spoke in his life, what he spoke forth was salvation. Let there be light. And it wasn't sun he spoke forth, because sun was later created. It wasn't moon, because moon was later created. It was your salvation. The earth was a soup of nothingness. Soup of nothingness. A bottomless emptiness. You know, many of us don't realize that was our life before we met Jesus. I don't know about you, but I was really a bottomless emptiness. I don't know whether people know the state they are in if they are not saved. They have a doctorate degree, but they are not saved. Bottomless emptiness. They are professors, but they are not saved. Bottomless emptiness. They are the best singers in the world. They even have money. Some of them are worth hundreds of millions. But that's why, in the name of the Spirit, bottomless emptiness, a soup of nothingness, an inky blackness. But they don't know. What has blinded their eyes? They bought pens. They don't know. Thank God for light. Thank God for light. Thank God for light. Because that is where we were. We were dead in sin and trespasses. That's how Paul put it. He said earth was a soup of emptiness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. He called it an abyss. Abyss is a place of darkness. So God's spirit was brooding. And that's how it is over every unbeliever. There is a brooding of God's spirit over the person. It wants to get entrance into his heart. It's just over the waters. Just hovering over the waters. And when God looked, he wanted a solution. Then he announced. God spoke light. God just came and said, light! And light appeared. So the answer to darkness is light. I'm sensing that digression in my spirit now. I want to talk to that brother, that sister that is in this place, who is not yet born again. His life is so messed up. He wants direction. He has money, he doesn't have joy. He has money, but he's not happy. He's looking for peace. I tell you, I know where you are. We've all been there. There was a place of emptiness in our heart. There was a bottomless emptiness. There was this soup of nothing. We were nothing. In fact, the Bible said we were not a people. You don't get it. We're not. In other words, if we check you in the map, you are not existing. You are nothing. And God came to me. And all he shouted into my ear was, light! And I responded. And light appeared. And so you are here and you are not saved. As you are listening to this words tonight, hearing what Christ has done for you, he's echoing light in your ear. He's shouting light in your ear. He's shouting it to your spirit. If you respond, the next thing, light is going to appear. What does it mean? The man that was dead will now be alive. He will no longer be dead. No, that's why I did that song when I came up. Light of the world. You step down into darkness. You step down. You open my eyes. You know, the songwriter said, open my eyes, let me see. That's the song of an unbeliever. The believer says, you've opened my eyes. You've let me see. I've seen this beauty that makes this world adore you. Ha, ya, ya, ya.
That's what he did. So he comes to that place of darkness. Then he shines his light on you.
As his light.
It's his light. And what that light will do, that light will give you life. That light will revitalize you. You begin to live again. You know, I watched an interview of, I think, the richest man in one of these nations. And I asked him, do you have one advice you are going to give young people all over the world? What were you expecting from a rich man? We thought he was going to say, oh, well, just work hard. He said, I just have one advice for them. He began to talk about Jesus. How that in Jesus, he said, I've got everything I want. But I know that the greatest of everything I got is that I found Jesus. That's the light. When the die is cast, you will remember this day. You will remember that nothing else mattered if you never had salvation. Jesus shone his light on me. Glory to God. Peter puts it this way. Hallelujah. He says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. That's 1 Peter 2 verse 9. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Hallelujah. A peculiar people. Hallelujah. Go back to King James. We're not in message yet. A peculiar people. Glory to God. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of darkness. So we've been called out of darkness. We are no more in darkness. My life is no more messed up. I'm no more confused. And that's why, as I'm talking to the unbeliever, I want to talk to the man that is born again in this place. You've got the greatest gift ever. Like, because that's the point. You don't know. You don't know. You got the greatest gift. You hit the jackpot. I don't know where your life is at. We're still going to pray for your needs. But you see, before your needs are met, before your sicknesses are healed, before any of those things happen, you are not disadvantaged. The light of the gospel has caused you to live. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. I'm alive. The man in Christ Jesus should know. The man in Christ Jesus should know what has happened to him. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death. This is what he did for me. He abolished death. Then he brought life. What did he bring? What is that life? Immortality. The life he brought is that he gave you an immortal life. Do you know what immortality means? People think that immortality means that you will not be able to die again. Well, there is more to that. If it's about not dying, it means demons have immortality because demons don't die. Are you following me? Satan will not die. But he doesn't have immortality. What he brought is life and immortality. It is that point, I tell you, what it means in the physical, where you are in charge of life and you're in charge of death. And it is that point where you have the very life of God living in you. And it's going to live in you for a very long time, forever. That's what he brought. So I'm an immortal man. Because I tell you, you kill me, you destroy this body, you cut it to pieces, a time is going to come. At the sound of the trumpet, I'm going to rise again. So you can't take away my life. This is immortality. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The light is the gospel. So when we got the gospel, he brought that life and immortality. So light exposed light. Also light rather exposed life. Light brought life. Light brought immortality. Now we are no more dead men. We are now men that are alive. And so if you're born again here, you need to know the gravity of what happened to you. You need to know that you are no longer just that sister. The problem is this, and that's why we're doing this conference. Sit for a moment. That's why we're doing this conference. I told you, I'll start from here tomorrow, but let me just mention this. I told you that the greatest fight of the devil is to stop light from shining the hearts of the unbeliever. And his greatest fight against you is to stop that light from shining in your heart. What this means is, you're now born again, you've received light, but he doesn't want you to know what has happened to you. He doesn't want you to know the gravity, the weight of what happened to you. And it's my desire that in this conference, and God's desire, that you will see what has happened. You will be able to appreciate it, because he doesn't want you to know. So you see, the guy, he's born again, he's saved, he's tongue talking, he has the Holy Ghost, he still thinks something is wrong with him. Because he doesn't have a few naira. He still thinks his life is messed up because he failed an exam. He still hear believers say, I'm just nothing, I'm just empty. Empty? The empty is Genesis 1 verse 2. When light came, he dealt with emptiness. No believer is empty. He said, I just feel empty. I just feel that's just a crazy feeling. Satan doesn't want you to know. God said, let us make man in our image. And immediately Satan came. First thing, he asked the guy, did God say you should not eat any of these things? You guys, the lady said, well, this, that, that. He said, well, let me tell you, if you eat it, you will be like God. He didn't want them to know that there was already a plan for them to be in God's image. He's shutting your eyes from the real thing. It's the same fight. Friends, check everything that Korabata, thank you, Holy Ghost. Check everything that Satan offered to Jesus in his temptation. There were things, I don't know who needs to hear this. There were things Jesus already had. First one, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. In other words, if you want to show the Son of God, do this to become. Jesus didn't need to prove his sonship. The second one, do this and do this, for he shall give his angels charge over you. The man already had angelic assistance. Are you following me, church? The next one, look around. Everything in the world, I'm going to give them to you. You already had them. That is his game. He blinds your eyes from what you have and wants to offer it to you through another means. So he meets the believer who has the peace of the Holy Ghost and tells him, you are depressed. You don't have peace. So guess what the believer does? He begins to take alcohol. He begins to make friends. He's looking for peace, what he has in Christ. You are not confused. You are not empty. You are not in darkness. You are not dead. You are alive. You need to know it. You need not to forget it. It has to be ringing in your head that I'm not dead, that I'm alive in Christ Jesus, that I'm not a soup of nothingness. I am not empty. When he shone his light on me, Kabaratea. Woo, let me have the choir come up. I just have a few more scriptures to read for us, but let me choir come up. Rebo de le sovrete agodios, zilo vrete to le darabata. Let there be light. So today we are no more dead. We are no more confused. We have light now. I hope we have the song on the screen. Put it up on the screen. It's a new song that we just sang last Sunday, but I want you to just pick it up so that we can all rejoice to it. Hallelujah.
Jesus shone his light on me.
Yes, 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 yes.
And my night began my day. He feels so good and I am free.
Whoosh.
I am free and I know it. He shines through my heart. He illuminates my thoughts. Your word is
Take it from the top. From the top. From the top. Now listen to this song. I love the lyrics of the song. Take from the top.
In Christ there are blessings kept for me.
Spiritual blessings.
Spiritual. rich your blessing all for me.
Mighty power,
mighty power walking for me and through me. For like a shadow I could do hold. My healing waited for me,
my justification
the very life of God.
For like a shadow,
for like a shadow I couldn't hold.
But Jesus shone his light on me.
Let me hear your voice all over the place.
Jesus shone his light.
Let me hear your voice. Come on. Yeah.
Jesus shone his light. Oh,
yes, he got my life.
My life became my faith. Hey. It feels so good that I am free.
Let's take one more time. I want you to say, George, come on. Jesus. Everybody, come here.
And my life became my day. Yes. Feels so good that I am free. I am free and I know it. It shines through my heart. Illuminates my soul.
One last time. Like you were there singing. There's a nice song. Let me hear your hands lifted to heaven all over this place. And think about this beautiful healing that happened to us.
Woo,
glory to God. Happen to you in Christ Jesus. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Now, that brings me to something. Let me introduce this meeting to you. Listen, pay attention. Calm down, calm down. Hallelujah! It will be a meeting of revelation. Now listen, I'm going to be saying things that you've heard before. That's what God said I should do. I will say things you've heard me say many times. But each one I say, something will catch up with you. Revelation will open up to you. Your eyes will burst open and light. He will shine his light on you. You will see and know what he has done in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sit down for a moment. Just hang around. Hey, Karabatoya Bush. Hey, Voroto Bosatia. So that's what happens in Christ. So the dead man now wakes up because of that light. We are no more dead. We are no more empty. No more comfort. I want you to know, and at this point it begins to happen. I want you to know what God has done for you in Christ. I want you to know the gravity of what happened. How the man that was dead is now alive. Because light shined. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. I just have like three scriptures, but I tell this place it's going to erupt in a few minutes. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Ayakabarada. You know, when this light comes, you can rise up and you can shine white while your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people. This is what happened to us in Christ Jesus. Isaiah was speaking in the spirit that a time is going to come when there shall be darkness all over the place. When gross darkness shall cover the people. But something is going to happen and has happened to us already. That thing is that the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon thee. Watch what will now begin to happen. The Gentiles will begin to rush towards your light. Kings will begin to rush towards thy rising. Because when salvation happens, because that's actually what happened. Jesus came, I tell you friends, at the darkest point of the world. It was a time when the world was so dark. If you read church history, or the history of the Bible, from Malachi, if I heard someone say that if you check some Bibles from Malachi to Matthew, you'll find a white sheet. That it shows how there was emptiness before Jesus came. How that the voice of God was no longer heard. For a very long time. For over 400 years. So it was the darkest point of the earth. That's what Isaiah was prophesying. That darkness shall cover the earth. That gross darkness shall cover the people. But then something is going to happen. That the Lord will shine his light. That the glory of the Lord will rise. And then Gentiles shall come to your light. Kings shall come to the presence of your rising. That's what has happened to us now. His light has been shining in our hearts. Hallelujah. So we were dark. There was gross darkness over the earth. But he shone his light. Kabaratash. Look at verse 19. His light came. So we are no more in darkness. This is what is happening to you. And this is the state of the man in Christ. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. In other words, we are going back to Genesis. Do you remember that in Genesis 1, there was no sun, there was no moon, but there was light. That light was spiritual. We are going back there. The sun shall not be light by the day. The moon, the brightness shall the moon give. The sun shall be no more light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. So there will be sun, there will be moon, but that will no longer be the source of your light. Because actually, that was not meant to be the main source of light. There was light before sun came. Oh, you are not getting me, church. There was light before moon came. There was light before the stars came. That light is the light of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus. So Isaiah is prophesying of that day, which is the day we live in now. When the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God will be thy glory. He is now my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. I am walking in the light. It is not the light of the sun. It is the light of the moon. It is the light of the stars. It is the light of the gospel. It is the light of God. The Lord is my light. So it's not sun giving me light. How I see where to find it is not by the sun nor by the moon. It is not the sun, it's not the moon. The Lord is my light. He is my glory. Hey. Hey, I'm saved. I'm walking in the light.
I'm walking in the light. I'm full of light. I'm full of light. I'm full of light. Woo! Look at verse 20. He said, thy sun shall no more go down. Now, when he's talking about thy sun, he's not talking about physical sun now. Because he already told us in verse 19 that that sun will no longer be source of your light. He now said, your sun shall no more go down. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting life, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. For the man in Christ, the days of mourning has ended. And if the days of mourning has ended, we are in the days of joy. That's what it means. 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 Glory, 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 glory. The days of mourning has ended. I'm doing joy all day. 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 Yeah. Listen, this joy is not affected by my circumstance, because the sun is not my light. The moon is not my light. The Lord is my light. Are you following me, church? The days of thy mourning shall be ended. I don't know why I want to digress, but I don't know what you are passing through. I tell you, no matter what you pass through, don't mourn. The days of your mourning has ended. I tell you what to do. Rejoice. 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 Hey. Shout to the Lord.
King.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mountains bow down and the seas will grow.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the sound.
Yes, 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 yes.
All your day. I sing for joy. I don't want.
Yes.
Forever I love you. Forever I stand.
Let me talk more time. Whoosh. We shout to the Lord. Come and sing.
Shout to the Lord on the end. Let us sing. Oh, power of majesty. Praise to the King.
Mountains bow down.
Mountains bow down. Where the sea.
To that place. The sun is not my light. The moon is not my light. It's no more my light. It's no more. The Lord is not my light. My days of mourning has come to an end. I'm not saying that things will not happen to you, but I'm saying by the Holy Ghost, don't mourn. For in Christ, when you came into Him, your days of mourning ended. Don't mourn. Yes, you can feel bad. Yes, you can be hurt. But don't be thrown into mourning. You love someone. Don't mourn. Ayaba, verate. Don't mourn. Don't mourn. Something goes missing. Don't mourn. You lost something of great importance. Don't mourn. For in Christ, the days of your mourning has ended. Don't awaken what has passed.
The days of mourning has passed. And if that's the case, what it means is that we are in the days of joy. And so if whatever happens to you, feel momentarily sad, you are human. But after that, release joy from your spirit. Laugh and scream and run and shout. Never let the devil keep you down. Never. Because the days of thy mourning, Isaiah was prophesying what will happen in Christ. He's saying that when that time comes, when the Lord is now your everlasting light, the days of your mourning will end. It means Isaiah was talking about my day. I'm no more mourning. I don't know who needs encouragement. But I tell you, the days of mourning has gone. I'm digressing, but I said the Holy Ghost is saying, the days of mourning has gone. You see, I'm not saying tough things may not come, tough things may not come, but refuse to mourn. Always remember that when I came into light, mourning ended. That's why the way Paul will put it, Paul will say, we must not cry like men without hope. That's why we don't mourn. That's why we don't cry. That's why we don't scream. That is okay if we are humans. Emotions can take over. But after the whole thing, you lost everything. But there's something constant. The Lord is the everlasting light. Light is still shining. Remember, the sun is not your light. The moon is not your light. The Lord is your light. The job is not your light. The bank account is not your light. The relationship is not your light. The marriage is not your light. The Lord is your light. So you can lose the job. You can lose the car. You can lose the money. You can lose the house. But you've not lost your light. Therefore, no room for mourning. And I need to say to somebody, you've not lost your light. That's why I told you, we are not just, we don't just announce that there is light at the end of the tunnel. We announce that we are the light through the tunnel. There is no light at the end. I am the light through the tunnel. Through the tunnel, I am the light. So no matter what, Henry is not going to mourn. Because when the light came, he ended the days of mourning. I've lost valuable things. Bad things has happened to me. Did I feel bad? Yes, I did. But I always remember this verse. That Isaiah prophesied that when that day comes, it's not expected that Henry should mourn. So why should I cry? Where the Lord is my light. You know what it means? It means literally that the sun can go off, the moon can go off, the believer will still be seeing road. I don't know what that means for you. Your jobs can be lost. People supply you money can withdraw their support. Your biggest customers can say, because no one to compromise, that are leaving you. Everything can shut down, but the Lord is my light. The sun is not my light. The moon is not my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. My everlasting light. You see the next verse. Hey, Kabaradash. The days of money shall be ended. In verse 21, he said, thy people also shall be all righteous. Is he not prophesying when in Christ's reality is here? In that day when light shall come, all your people shall be righteous. So there is no single person here who is saved, who has received the light that is not righteous. Not one single person. Even you. We are following. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. I love verse 22. That day when it happens, a little one shall become a thousand. A small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Now, so he was prophesied. After he prophesied, he said, as I said, this thing I'm saying, I will hasten it, not in its time. In his, he's talking about a person. In Christ's time, I will hasten it. Now he has hastened it. He has performed it. The little one among us is now a thousand. The small one among us is now a strong nation. I am not ordinary. By virtue of salvation, I'm not ordinary. Oh, no wonder the Bible says, John says it this way. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall be a strong nation. See, the way God sees the life is funny. He spoke to Rebecca. Rebecca was pregnant, and he told Rebecca, there are two nations in your womb. Jesus. So God is looking at you. He's seeing a nation. You can imagine. He didn't tell Rebecca, you are pregnant for twins. He said, there are two nations inside your belly. When we reach the fulfillment of our destiny, I can say the point. The fulfillment is when all of us become nations, strong nations for the Lord. These are nations. These are nations. The little one shall be a thousand. This is talking about everything. It's talking about capacity. It's talking about ministry. It's talking about power for the gospel. It's talking about seizing your generation. And the Lord has destined it. The time has come. This is a strong nation. A strong nation. A strong nation. The little one shall become a thousand. Now hear me and hear me clearly. No one among us is ordinary. Even that sister looking at me now. Even that brother that thinks this is not for him. No one among us is ordinary. No one. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are coming from. I don't know your story. I don't know your history. I don't know who has messed you up. But no one among us is ordinary. Not one of us. Not one of us. Because when that light came, it turned little children into thousands. Turned small boys into nations. Not just a nation, a strong nation. After he spoke to them, he told them, I, the Lord, said, I will hasten this thing. In other words, I'm in a hurry to perform it. And now in Christ, he has performed it. And he says, he hastened it. This should also encourage you that every promise God makes you by his word, he will hasten it. I get to the point. So next time you hear, thus says the Lord, I will do this, I will do that, I will do the other one. Don't think of the future anymore. He says, I will hasten it. Oh, glory. I will hasten it. I will hasten it. Odoga, Shidaga. Tomorrow shall be better. Listen, the future is bright. But then, why are you thinking about 15 years and 20 years and 25 years? I will hasten it, says the Lord. I will draw it closer by my own hands. So you set your mind on 10 years' time. I'm talking about next year. I'm talking about next 2 years. I'm hastening it up to perform it in my own time, says the Spirit of the Lord. He will hasten it. He will hasten it. And so don't stop hoping. Don't stop expecting. Because next month could be that month. And it will be that month. And it will be that month. It's next month. It's next month. It's next month. It's next month. Says the Spirit of the Lord. So why do you think it's going to take some time? Why do you think it will take some time? Who says you need to finish school before it starts? And who says life starts when you gain admission? Who says life starts when you are done serving? I will hasten it, says the Lord. I will hasten it in my own time. And so after service, I will get a big job. And so after school, I'm going to buy a car. And so after school, I'm going to build a big house. Well, who says God is waiting till after school? He said, I will hasten it in my time. You, says the Lord, you are the one pushing it to the future. Yes, you are going to travel. But it may not even be in June. It may not even be in November. It could be January, says the Lord. And I will hasten it. I will hasten it. Says the Lord. 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 The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I will hasten it. That everything that will make it come to pass, we receive speed suddenly. Yeah. Yebo. Ready. And don't miss it. He didn't say I will hasten it in its time or in your time. He said in his own time. And when is his time, you may ask? He says now is the acceptable day. Now is the day of salvation. And if the greatest thing God wants to do, which is salvation, he has done now. What is that he cannot do now? He can heal you even now. So why push the healing to healing line? He wants to start tonight. Why push it to the miracle session? He wants to supply it now. What are you waiting for? He wants to hasten it and bring it to pass, says the Spirit of the Lord. Lift your hands. There is a ministration of God's divine capacity. Everywhere you felt weakness, I'm saying it in my spirit, one of you shall become a strong nation. Every area of life where there was weakness, where you felt weak, where you felt not capable, where you felt not qualified, where you felt not strong enough, there is a supply of strength in that area. A supply of strength in that area. That where there was weakness, there is now strength. Take it. Strength, capacity, strength. One, a strong nation. One, 1,000. Wherever you're standing, there are 20 of us like that here. There is a supply of supernatural capacity, strength, and the Holy Ghost is going to stretch through this whole place. It's coming upon them one by one. Strength is rising. I speak strength, capacity. Capacity. That place you felt you couldn't, now you can. That place you felt you couldn't, now you can. Do you know? Many of you, he will add your skill. You've been trying to learn something again and again. Now, he will put his hand for you and hasten your learning. That where there was lack of strength, there's now supply of divine ability. And my God hastens it now. Hastens it now.
There is nothing you cannot do. There's no mountain you cannot do.
Say it, then you will do it. Cause you have a track record of keeping your word, and you're not about to stop doing it now.
Listen, I will hasten it, says the Lord. There are jobs, but listen. In 2 years' time, in 1 year time, you said, I'm going to get this job and it's going to pay me 250, 300,000 or whatever you said. But now is the time. But I will give you that which you never expected. I will exceed your expectation. And those testimonies you push to the future will now be shared now. That's what I heard the Lord say. You know, I'm going to get a car in the next 5 years. Those things you push in the future, you are now sharing testimonies now. I bring it closer. Now. Woo. Scripture tonight. Psalm 27 verse 1.
Just one scripture tonight before we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord has become my light. So that when the enemies came up against me, they stumbled and they fell. They stumbled and they fell. They stumbled and they fell. For the Lord is now my light. Though an host should encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Oh, one thing have I desired that now we have. This is what I will seek after. That's what we have now. Oh, the beauty of the Lord. That's to see his light and to inquire his temple. For what will happen in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle tabernacles of joy. And I will sing. Yay! I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Friends, when his light came, he changed our lives forever. He made us strong, delivered us from death, raised us from the dead, made us new men, brought ease. I tell you, something happened in Christ that changed my life. Something happened. I wish we know the gravity of that. Tonight I'm going to close on this note. Perhaps you've been looking down on your salvation. You've been looking down on what happened to you. I tell you, it was no ordinary thing. You know, to you, it was just yet another day. You just said, Jesus, come into my heart. And it was just a simple thing. To you, you just said, well, let me change and start going to church. It was just yet another day. But actually, it was a day that heaven marked forever. Because light came, and that life that was a mess now had meaning. Now had meaning. I'm going to lead you to do something in the next 5 minutes. I'd like us all to all stand. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your voice. And begin to bless God on top of your voice. For your salvation. For the light of the gospel. For shining his light in your heart. For raising us from the dead. From turning us from darkness. Let me hear you lift your voice all over this place. Louder. Your voice should be loudest when you give thanks. Come on. Give me 5 minutes to pray. Then we'll take a hymn in 5 minutes. Then we'll be closed. So the choir, the you get us in the darkness. King of Kings. We're waiting. Just get us on the screen. Take your time. 5 minutes. Pray in the Holy Ghost and thank God for your salvation. For your salvation. For your salvation. You have 4 more minutes. Thank you for your salvation. I want to hear you pray. Don't stop. Thank you for your salvation. Just pray. You have 3 more minutes. Pray. Pray. Thank him. This is the foundation for this meeting. Thank him for what he has done, what has happened to you in Christ Jesus. Give him thanks all over this place. Make sure you pray from that point of revelation. That point where you understand what he has worked out for you in his son. In his son. In his son. In his son. Rebabababakona vandash. As you are thanking him, it's getting clearer. It's getting clearer. It's getting stronger.
clearer, stronger, clearer, stronger. Romando Shigarabos. Clearer and stronger. Just pray the Holy Ghost. Thank Him. Take 2 more minutes. Take 2 more minutes. Thank Him. Thank Him. Oh, Labarandesh. We were dead in sin and trespasses. But he brought His light. That light became our life. That light became our life. Just go ahead. Let me hear you. Don't stop. Don't stop. Put your eyes on Jesus and just thank Him. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Reponsopre de Kadash. E garaba do sugolevre de coraba de Kadash. E zontra babora babora batea. E chefre popo suga lebrondo bossoponash. E garamba zogotza la frata yagash. Le sopre nebando robonda karadash. Let your voice rise all over this place. Let your voice rise all over this place. Let your voice rise all over this place. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Thank Him all over this place. Ooh. Baraba Zokoro Bodoshania Edo Lepro Gododo Boshida Layanash Yes, 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 yes. Just a few more seconds as you bless Him all over this place. Jesus' name we pray. So we're going to take that song together. We're going to sing what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. I tell you what, tomorrow morning, I'm going to take my time to explain some things further. Tomorrow we're going to have an explosion of God's word in this place. And I tell you, there's going to be revelation that will stick. That will stick. If I want to start praying for you every minute in this conference, I can do it from minute one to the end, and you'll be getting blessed. But I want your eyes to open. You know, one of your greatest needs, one of your greatest requests, one of your greatest demands, expectation in this conference is that God will show you. I get to the point that you'll be able to see. You know, a songwriter said, open my eyes to see Jesus stand upon the throne. And people think, well, it's just about maybe seeing a vision. No. If you ever sing that song, you'll be able to, your prayer should be that this light will shine in my heart. And I may see better in the light. Hallelujah. Tomorrow I'm going to show you scriptures that will blow your mind. Because currently we are no more children of the dark. We are not children of light. We now walk in the light. Something has happened to us. We have been raised from the dead and we can never die again. First night of Zoe every year, I try to establish you on these things.
Because if you don't understand this basic thing about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, you will not be able to pick up with every other thing we are saying. And even if you pick up and you get healed, you get your blessing, you get your miracle, and what have you, you've missed out on the most important thing that the gospel has to offer. I get the point. The first thing God said was that he called for light. And I told you, when I touched on the law of first mention, remember? When you find what the first is, follow it. That which was the first is still the most important in his plan. That light will shine. And now light has shined in our hearts. We know Jesus, but you need to know. That light needs to shine and you realize what exactly you have in Christ Jesus. Let's just write and sing that song. We'll take from the in darkness we are waiting. He's on the screen. Let's sing with everybody from the screen. Let's go. Come on.
In the darkness,
I want to hear your voice. Come on.
Without hope, without light.
Yes.
Till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes.
Hi-ya.
To fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came no more.
Yeah.
From the throne of endless glory.
Let's do that first part again. I want to hear your voice. Sing for yourself. Death. Listen again.
In the darkness we were waiting. From heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word. From the throne of endless glory. To a cradle in the night.
Praise the Father.
Praise the Father.
Pass again. To reveal the kingdom coming, it again.
To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the laws. To redeem the whole creation. You did not despise your cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Jesus, for
I save
you
now. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father.
Again. And the morning that you rose, feet again. The body you rose.
And the morning that you rose, all of them will have his friends. Till the soul was moved for good, for the Lamb has conquered death. And the dead rose from their tomb, and the end is soon in all. For the souls of all who come to the Father. And the church of
one time. The Church of Christ was born. Come on.
And the Church of Christ was born. And the Spirit in the place. And the Church was
sick. Note, we're going to close tonight. Tomorrow we continue. I tell you, this is the first night, but God is working in our midst. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.